Dear brothers and sisters, Nehemiah is a very interesting book because the Jews worked so hard to get the job done, even though the other nations around them tried so hard to stop them. It took a lot of determination and effort from everyone to finish the job. Their job was to restore Jerusalem's walls, which had been destroyed many years before. Nehemiah supervised the Jews that helped rebuild the walls. It took a lot of people and work to be able to rebuild the walls. Before we get into chapter 3, we can look at some events that led up to this chapter. Nehemiah was King Artaxerxes' cupbearer. This post was of great importance because it had to be someone the king truly trusted. If someone that meant evil to the king became his cupbearer, he could kill the king very easily. The cupbearer was around the king a lot and often tested the king's drink for poison. Now Nehemiah had heard about how Jerusalem was ruined. We read in Nehemiah chapter 1:3 what he was told. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. He became sad, and the king noticed. And the king cared about Nehemiah, and asked in Nehemiah 2, why is thy countenance sad? Nehemiah then replied, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? The king then answered, for what dost thou make request? Nehemiah took the opportunity by saying, if it please the king, and if thy servant hath found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, and unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Here was Nehemiah's chance to rebuild Jerusalem's walls. Nehemiah then asked the king for a letter to travel through the other nations, in Nehemiah 2:7. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come unto Judah. Like I said earlier, there's a lot of opposition from the other nations. They did not want Israel to become a strong nation, and mostly tried to stop them by taunting them and intimidating them. In chapter 2, verse 9, but when Sanballat the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us, that is, Nehemiah and his followers, to scorn, and despised us, and said, what is this saying that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Nehemiah took all this very well, and replied in the next verse, then I answered them, and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. We must do the same when the world tries to taunt us. We must stay strong in the truth and trust God will prosper us, like Nehemiah said in that verse. Now, to chapter 3, we can see how many different people worked in rebuilding the wall. It took priests, Tekoites, goldsmiths, apothecaries, rulers, and even a few women. They all worked together for the same purpose, even as brethren and sisters should work together in the ecclesia. Though many of us have different jobs, we must work together in the same purpose, that is, striving for the things of God. If you look at some of these people, you can learn exhortations from them. Eliashib, the high priest, who was supposed to set an example for the people, later tolerated alien marriage. Brother Brokot points out, this high priest, Eliashib, was the grandson of the high priest Joshua, who had come back earlier with Zerubbabel. Though he entered into the wall building, he appears to not have been no friend of Nehemiah, but rather Tobiah and Sanballat. He was the type of person who was energetic in material duties, but negligent about spiritual things. We must give our hearts and minds to God, not just doing the material things. He also brings out how the people of Tekoa wholeheartedly gave themselves to work, even though their leaders didn't help. In verse 5 it says, "And next unto them the Tekoites repaired, with their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord." The people not only did one section of the wall without their leaders, but two sections. Brother Brocott brings out how Paul tells us that all these things were written for examples for us, and they are examples in more ways than one. Among other things, there were examples of the fact that all is recorded for good or for ill. If we are related to the purpose of God, and we believe we are, then all our activities are being recorded. Let it not be recorded that any of us, that we put not our necks to the work of the Lord. That applies to us all, for listening is just as important as speaking. All is the work of the Lord, whether it be the meetings or just our private contacts together. Let us all put all the effort and enthusiasm we can into everything we do as unto the Lord. The nobles of Tekoa put not their necks to the work, and it is forever recorded against them. But we find later in the chapter that the common people of Tekoa finished their own part early and then went somewhere else and built up an extra portion. In the book, The Exile's Return, it talks about how Nehemiah was organized in assigning the jobs. The people's jobs often reflected on where they lived and what they did. For example, Eliashib the priest worked on the sheep gate, through which the sheep were led to the priest. The people often were placed on sections of the walls close to the house. You might think that Eliashib the priest would be given a place near his house, but as high priest, it was his responsibility as high priest to show a good example for the people. He needed to show that he was not just working for his own benefit, but to serve God. Brother Brocott brings out how the sheep gate entered into the temple area on the northeast corner of the city, so named because it was through here that animals were brought for sacrifice. The sheep gate, the way of sacrifice. The whole undertaking has begun by sanctifying the work unto God, seeking His help and blessing. And when the wall was completed, the whole was dedicated to God with praise and thanksgiving. Another thing that he brings out is that the builders were not skilled at building. Therefore, it took a larger group of people and more time to get the job done. Imagine you building a house without knowing anything about building a house. You could probably do it, but imagine how much longer it would take and how much more work it would take. In Psalms 127, verse 1, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain, but in vain." Without God, it would have been impossible. Also, on top of that, imagine people taunting you and threatening to kill you and destroy your house. The way they organize the workers can show us how we should work our ecclesial lives. Give jobs to people that can manage that job. Also, it makes it a lot easier for all of us to work together, rather than only giving it to one person. For example, each member can have one job to take care of, whether it is big or small. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:12. And if they were all one member, where were the body? 1 Corinthians 12:19. We must diligently work in our service to God, like Barak in Nehemiah 3, verse 20. After him, Barak the son of Zebiah earnestly repaired the other piece, from the turning of the wall unto the door of the house of Elisha, the high priest. Brother Brocott brings out, we read in verse 20 that Barak, the son of Zebiah, earnestly repaired his portion. As some are singled out in their lack of zeal, so here is one mention for special zeal. There was a lot of earnest work, or they never could have gotten the wall up in 52 days, in the face of such obstacles as we read in chapter 6, verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul, in 52 days. But here was a real extremist, a man who gave himself to the uttermost. Even though the other groups worked on more than one portion, Barak worked very diligently. He also brings out how the poor were not left to building the walls, but mostly the rulers. In Nehemiah 3:9, and next unto them repaired Rephaiah, the son of Hur, and the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. And in Nehemiah 3:12, and next unto them repaired Shalom, the son of Halawesh, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. Brother Grocott talks about how this building, again of the old ruins of the wall which had been broken down for 150 years, was a tremendous undertaking. There are several interesting points about it. In this work, Nehemiah was typical of Christ, the great wall builder, and also of every faithful laborer in every age who endeavors to build up and strengthen the holy city's walls of defense and separation from the world. When the wall is broken down, nothing can prosper. Things just go from bad to worse. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are all God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, they were building the old Jerusalem. We need to be building the new Jerusalem of Revelation 21:2. And John saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband."